Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 29th day of March, 2021. And I'm thrilled to have back on the program a returning guest who has become quite a regular guest on this program. I absolutely love interviewing this precious brother in Christ who has become one of my favorite guests and also a dear friend. And I thoroughly enjoy every opportunity that I have to see and hear him preach in person. I've had a number of those opportunities dating all the way back to my early days of Christianity in the 1980s. I'm speaking of none other than Reverend Jeff Thomas, who, beginning in 1965, served for over 50 years as pastor of Alfred Place Baptist Church of Aberystwyth, Wales, and he is the author of many books, including a new book, The Legendary Casey Jones and Other American Folktales. And today we are going to be discussing Why the Cross, a very important topic with Good Friday and Easter right around the corner. This will be an excellent audio, will provide an excellent audio link for you to share with your loved ones who may be more open to even contemplating the historic and biblical acts of Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. We who are true believers don't need to rely upon a liturgical calendar to preach and study and contemplate these precious, glorious truths that are included in the most vital of Christian teachings: the sinless life, substitutionary death, bodily resurrection, ascension, ruling, and reigning of Christ, which no one can call themselves a true Christian, nor should they be considered such unless they believe in these things. But, as I said, Good Friday and Easter provide opportunities, perhaps, to provide this information to those we love who are not yet saved, who may have more of an open ear just because it is a tradition that they celebrate these things every year on Good Friday and Easter. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Jeff Thomas.
It's lovely to be back again. Thank you very much. And that I'm speaking to you on such a vital subject. Why the cross? We often told that there's no theory of the atonement in Scripture, and that no such theory is necessary for Christian life or devotion or assurance. Just the fact of the atonement without any explanation, any doctrine, any theory. And the emphasis is very often in some way or other by some death or other by some Christ or other, all men are saved. So we are being asked to be content with the fact of the death of Christ, that in some way or other this bears upon the forgiveness of our sins. I would say to you that is an impossible position to hold. the cross then is understood in a certain way and interpreted in a certain way, and that constrains us to be transformed in our life, to live for him who died for us and rose again. And it's necessary that we interpret the cross because of the identity of the person who hung there and died there. "They have crucified my Lord," she said. Now, why? What is its meaning? And I won't say, if I've got time, that there are five answers to that question of why the cross.
Well, let's start
first
with number one.
The cross was penal. That is, it was a penalty being borne. It was a punishment being endured. And maybe that's profound, but the youngest children listening in, they can understand this. You know what a penalty is, what a punishment is when a footballer is penalized. He's broken the rules. When you've driven at 40 in a 30-mile-an-hour zone, you are punished for it. And the New Testament takes this fundamental category, this familiar idea, and it uses it to cast light for us on what is happening to the Son of God on Calvary. There's a man on Calvary. And he's gone through a trial. And there have been witnesses, liars, yes, but there was a court, and he was found guilty, and he was condemned to be punished. So, what is he doing there? The one who began his life in a manger and slept in a feed bin. Why is he there at the end? And we're told again and again in the plainest terms, John 3:16, the abyss of Christian theology. We're told that God gave his own Son to that cross. We're told in Romans 8, the most majestic chapter in the New Testament, God did not spare his own Son. He delivered him up for us all. And so what we have on Calvary is God the Father causing the suffering of the Son. God the Father in the exercise of a peculiar undertaking, not sparing him, but delivering him up for us all. There were times when men would have taken him, drew him out of the synagogue at Nazareth and tried to throw him over a precipice. And he was delivered by his Father. He just slipped through their midst, but not here. And so there is this appalling problem. The innocent, blameless Son of God dying. And dying on a cross by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Or look at it like this, God bruising God. Or if you look at the dereliction, my God, why have you forsaken me? Luther interprets it, God forsaken by God. What in the world is the motivation of God the Father in bruising his Son and not sparing him, but delivering him up? And we can suggest caprice, an unpredictable God, toying with his Son, trifling with his only begotten, because a certain mood has overtaken him, and we dismiss that immediately and mock it. Or we can say God was showing malice, tormenting his Son, malevolently, sadistically, and that too is absolutely intolerable. And so there is one remaining possibility, and that is the rectitude of God. God shows showing his justice. The Son of God must suffer, must. So often he says that. There is something in the nature, the essential nature of the relationship between God and sin, that the righteousness of God is not indifferent to sin. The holiness of God is not blasé about murder and theft and violence. The justice of God doesn't respond like Buddha with an enigmatic smile at all the cruelty and abuse that we see in the world. God responds with holy indignation, with holy integrity against all that is ungodly and unrighteous. He is the Lamb of God, then, who bears the sin of the world, made a curse for sin, made sin for us. He is bearing the penalty of sin. He is bearing the punishment in his own body on the cross. And you will never see the doctrine of the atonement and the glory of it unless you see the absurdity and momentousness of this expression of God's hatred and anger against all that contradicts what he is. So one day in one place, God brews God, and we have to begin all our atonement thinking at that point. Christ bearing the punishment of sin. He died substitutionally. He died in the place of his people. He dies vicariously. Vicar means in the place of, in their room, in their stead. So it is penal atonement, and it is substitutionary atonement. And here are these great, incredible facts. The absolute integrity of Jesus, who knew no sin, whom Pilate said, I find no fault in him, who himself challenged his accusers, which of you accuses me, condemns me of a committed sin? You begin with the sinlessness of our Lord, and then the juxtaposition of the condemnation of sin that he bore, and you bring them together. The ugliness of sin and the beauty of our Lord, and what is the logic of it? Remembering all the time that he is the Word made flesh, who is in the beginning, God the Son, Jehovah Jesus, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, without whom was not anything made that was made. And you bring these facts together, the wages of sin with the identity of Jehovah Jesus, the Son of God. And can it be that God punished God the Son for sins that he did not commit? What right did he have to bruise the one who knew no sin? I want you to stand in the feet of the sandals of the early church between crucifixion and resurrection. In that abyss, we thought it had been he who would have redeemed Israel. We thought he was the Christ, the Messiah, but they looked at the cross and that one bearing the wages of sin, the punishment, the judgment. And they said, that cancels out our whole understanding. He cannot be the sinless one. He cannot be the Son of God. Because on Calvary, he is bearing the judgment that sinners deserve. So here is this monstrous anomaly. And we'll never see the glory of atonement, because it is saying to us, does God know what he's doing? Did he know that this one had never sinned, that he was his only son, and yet he is bruising him? What can justify God connecting his son and sin? And the answer lies in one tremendous word, one syllable word. It is the word for. And you see it in the New Testament time again. He died for our sins. He died for us. He died for all. He died for the church and gave himself for us. He was made a curse for us. He loved me and gave himself for me. He died a ransom for many, and you find the logic of Calvary in the word for. So what is the content of that for? If you pursue it, if you ask, what is its interpretation? There are three possibilities: that he died as our representative on our behalf, but you see, these advocates who are our representative, they don't become our victim. If a man comes who is acting on our behalf, he doesn't die. He speaks on behalf of that man. But Jesus bore the punishment. And then the second possibility is solidarity, that he suffers with his people. They don't suffer alone. He stands alongside us. He shares our sorrows and our miseries and our tribulations, and that is solidarity. But solidarity is another limitation. Solidarity means Christ suffered and we also suffer. But I'm saying that the service performed by our Lord goes far beyond that. Christ made a curse. And at that point, solidarity isn't enough. Solidarity means he shares with us. We also experience what he experienced. And I'm saying, no, the work of Christ is such that as a result of his life, he is accursed and we are not accursed. We don't share the anathema because he exhaustively bore it. It's gone away. It is dealt with. There is no condemnation now to those who are in Christ Jesus. So it's more than representation, that for. It is more than solidarity, that for. It is substitution for Christ in our place, bearing all our sins deserve, bearing shame and scoffing rude in my place. Condemned, he stood. Christ married to his church, taking all her debts, all her liabilities, associating himself with her shame. He stands in her reputation. He answers for all for which she's responsible. So that is what the for is. It is God uniting his people in all their liabilities to his son. The relationship is one of love. He loved me and gave himself for me. Not solidarity, not representation, but the foundation of the cross is substitution. He died with such effect that in that way we shall never die. And we stand in the immense shrine of the sufferings of Jesus, in the heart of the cry of dereliction, and we rejoice before God in his glory. And we say, we shall never know this. You don't think of your own Gethsemane, because he died with such effect that the death and the anguish he endured, his people will never, never know at all. And then we're nothing but praise and admiration for our brave young Savior who went to the cross for us, who, understanding the condemnation of the law, put himself under that condemnation in our place. And so those are the first two things I want to say, that Christ's death, why the cross? It was firstly a penalty that he paid, and secondly, it was penal substitution that he died there in our room and in our stead.
Amen. Well, let me give our listeners our email address if they would like to join us on the air with a question of their own. It is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We do have a listener in Perry County, Pennsylvania, named Arnie, who says, I truly believe and agree with you that Christ accomplished all on the cross in regard to our redemption. We did not participate in that in any way, but I'm just curious how you would explain Romans chapter 6, verse 8, which says, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. How did we die with Christ?
Well, what a wonderful question. Union with Christ is being referred to. If any man is in Christ, joined to him through his righteous life in all the ways he loved God with all his heart and soul and mind and strength, and we in him are righteous, and then bearing our condemnation and bearing our punishment, our sins imputed to him, his righteousness imputed to us. We are one with him there. We are in solidarity with him, yes, but it is a solidarity that only he, as the infinite and eternal Son of God, can bear as he takes the whole weight of the guilt and shame of fallen men and women all the world over, and bears all that condemnation powerfully, strongly. He can cope. He can handle it all, and he can give us rest. So, in that way, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And Paul says that, of course. You're right to point that out. There is that solidarity. But it is not enough to exhaust the four of that says that again and again, underlining the unique substitution of Christ for us.
By the way, you should consider, if you haven't already, writing a booklet on the death of Christ, and perhaps call it The Fours, F-O-R-S, of Christ's Death. That would make an excellent little booklet. We have to go to our first break right now, and again, if anybody has a question about the death of Christ, our topic today, why the cross, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Fellowship with one another as we're walking in the light.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Bodie Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Fellowshipping with the family.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Potofuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? to foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Welcome back. We are, if you just tuned us in, we have as our guest today, Jeff Thomas, and we are discussing Why the Cross. Jeff is very well known in the Reformed community as an author and a conference speaker, especially in events associated with the Banner of Truth. And we are discussing Why the Cross. And, Brother Jeff, there is a lot of confusion in the world about the reasons why Christ died. Of course, there are those who reject that he did such a thing, including those that even reject the notion that he existed. But even atheists today, the more learned ones, have come to, for the most part anyway, stop using the fable that Jesus was a fable. They have become so overwhelmed with the historical data that they typically, even the knowledgeable atheist, typically does not deny that Jesus ever existed, because of the extra-biblical and historical evidence. But we cannot rightly view Jesus' death as just some kind of a selfless and humble act whereby he was an innocent man who was put to death and not fighting back physically or doing anything to stop this from happening to him. There are those, it actually puzzles me how anyone could have an understanding that Christ voluntarily died, but it accomplished really nothing but an excellent example in the minds of some. What kind of an example is that? If he was innocent and his death wasn't going to accomplish anything, I'm not certain why his passivity in his death was such a noble and wonderful example, unless he was doing it to save the lives of others, which, in fact, we know that's exactly what he was doing. He was redeeming his people. But isn't it very important that the fours that you mentioned earlier, the F-O-R-S, regarding what did Christ die for and who did Christ die for, aren't these important issues that cannot be ignored or treated merely as intellectual ivory tower discussion?
Yes, of course. They are crucially important. Is this simply another brave prophet who fought against the system, and the system won? And he died as many other reformers were martyred because the opposition was too great. Is that what has made us preach good news and given our lives to bring that gospel to the most primitive and needy parts of the world? Is that a sufficient explanation for the hymnist saying, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all"? It's when you see, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain for me, who him to death pursued amazing love? How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? It is only such an interpretation that brings the highest caliber of holy living and the highest devotion and self-sacrifice that a man lays down his life then, because he is compelled and constrained by the example of Christ, who gave his life for others.
Well, why don't you go now into a continuation of the other vital aspects of Christ's death in this list that you have?
Yes, the third point that I want to make then is that the Son of God died on the cross because of propitiation. His death is penal, his death is substitution, and his death is a propitiation. All right? And that word is simply, it's a biblical word. It's not a systematic theology, 20th century word. It's there in Scripture. Blessed is the man to whom God doesn't impute his sins. And in 1 John and in Romans 3, you have this word propitiation. And what it impresses upon us is the effect of the cross Godwardly. What the cross did for the anger and wrath of God towards all wickedness that there is in this groaning world. It's a great pagan world that's taken, and it meant appeasement. That great word that describes the effect of pagan sacrifices, they were deemed to be sacrifices of atonement, of appeasement. And you know what that means. You forget your wife's annual anniversary. And you're at the office desk at 12 o'clock and you suddenly realize that this is the day and you've forgotten everything about it. No card, no flowers. And you call her and you say, honey, I think we ought to go out for a meal tonight. You thought I'd forgotten. And you take her out for a meal and spoil her to appease her atonement. He's taking me for granted. He doesn't love me anymore like he used to. And you find that the explanation then of the cross of Christ, that it what blessing did it secure? What service did it render? It was a blessing of appeasement, the blessing of propitiation. It placated the anger of God. It was like Neville Chamberlain in 1938 trying to appease Adolf Hitler and placate his military intentions of conquest in Europe. And he had a piece of paper and he thought that he had achieved a policy of appeasement. And here is what Christ has done on the cross. He made a propitiation for our sins. John said, but not for ours as Jews only, but Medes and Elamites and those that dwell in Mesopotamia, Romans and Europeans, the propitiation of the world. One person has achieved it, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ by his death. Because there is an impediment to reconciliation on God's side. On God's side there's a flaming sword. It's not simply man is suspicious of God or hostile to God, but there are the splendid solemnities of God's barrier towards us being renewed in fellowship with him while we have our guilt and while we have our hard and cold heart. There's a great reality of his wrath revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. God angry with cruelty, with murder, with poisoning, with the abuse of animals and women and children. God angry with a wicked, not a sphinx, just enigmatically smiling into the desert winds. But God now condemns sin in those made in his image. He doesn't condone it. He doesn't ignore it. He doesn't tolerate it. He can't look upon it. And that condemnation is not a feeling on man's side. It's not a delusion on the part of us fundamentalists. It's a great reality that God condemns sin, and he condemns it in his Son, Jesus Christ, so that our wrath is, his wrath against our sins has been appeased once and for all. And that is then, again, the great message of the meaning of the cross. It is solidarity, it is more, it is substitution, it is more, it is the propitiation and appeasement of a sin-hating God. And now he has borne the condemnation. The Lamb has shed his blood, and all those under the covering on the doorposts of the Passover lamb, God is not angry with them because the innocent has died in their place. So that is the third point, that it is propitiation.
Yes, and doesn't that word, you may have mentioned this in your description, using the biblical references that allude to it, but doesn't propitiation actually mean the turning away of wrath, that Jesus turned away the wrath that we, his elect, his people, deserve to receive? He turned it away by actually taking it upon himself, which is the, I think, one of the greatest overlooked aspects of Christ's death, even when evangelicals discuss it. This is even more of a horrific and agonizing element of his torturous execution, was receiving the wrath of God, even more so than the extremely painful death, which many scientists and doctors and so on have described as the, rightly described as the most painful form of execution. But even that being the case, beyond the physical aspect, because even ordinary men and women and children have been tortured and executed for their faith, what makes this multiplied billions of times over, an infinite number of times over, is the fact that Christ did what no other human did. He experienced what no other human experienced in receiving the wrath of the Father, his own Father, on the tree.
Yep, that is exactly it. That is the glory of it. Oh, we wouldn't want a God in heaven who is indifferent to wickedness. We want the model there, as he has made us in his image, of our own hatred of what men do to men, what men do to women, what men do to children. And God is angry with the wicked every day, we are told. And here then Jesus comes. In the volume of the book it's written about it, he comes to do the will of God. He comes to suffer in our room and in our stead. And he does it in such a way that we shall never face the anger of God for our sins. Payment God cannot twice demand, first at my breeding surety's hand, and then again at mine for the same sins. He has satisfied the holy justice of our loving God. God has not spared his own Son when he made him sin for us.
And one of the reasons I said that Christ was the only one to experience the wrath of his Father, and whoever will, because those that will be having the wrath of God poured on them in hell are not receiving it from a father. The reprobate are not the children of God, am I not right? Aren't only his elect his true children?
Surely, yes. There is the sense that God is the Father by creation. We owe our lives to him. He has created us, and he supplies all our needs and every good and wonderful thing that we have had as men and women in our lives. We didn't owe it to ourselves or to luck, but we owed it to a merciful and kind and patient who is good to the righteous and the unrighteous. And in that sense, he shows fatherly care. But the intimate cry, Abba Father, and the blessings of being a joint heir with Christ, of an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. Only God's children, who have been born into that family, only they can know such privileges.
Amen. And we have to go to our midway break right now, and as anyone who listens to the show regularly knows, the midway break is a little longer than our other breaks because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they are required by the FCC to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and all their programming geographically to Lake City, Florida by airing their own public service announcements and other local announcements regarding activities and ministries and other things that are literally geographically in Lake City, Florida. While they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as possible that our advertisers provide so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them. And at the very least, if you can't patronize them, if you can't purchase products and use their services or visit their churches, please at least respond to them to thank them for sponsoring the show. That will go a long way to help convince our advertisers that their money is being well spent, and God willing, they will continue to be our advertisers, which is absolutely essential for us to exist. We depend upon the finances from our advertisers to remain on the air. So please try to respond to those ads as often as you can, and send in a question also to our guest today, Jeff Thomas, at chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of Jeff Thomas after these messages.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It.
at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for world, N for news, G for group, .org/podcast.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Potofuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfuco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't ever forget, folks, how valuable solid-ground-books.com is to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio's existence. They are a vital sponsor of this program. If they were to cease advertising with us, we likely would have to go off the air, barring a financial miracle from God. So please visit solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously. They have the finest in Christian literature from the past and the present, not only books that they have brought back into print originally written centuries ago during the Protestant Reformation and subsequent centuries, but also even contemporary authors like Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and others. At solid-ground-books.com, why not get some last-minute Easter gifts purchased from them so that you can give a gift for Easter that may be used of God to lead a lost loved one to eternal life in Christ or to edify and bless a brother and sister in Christ. In fact, I know that my guest, Jeff Thomas, has a very high regard for Solid Ground Christian Books, and especially its founder, Mike Gadosh, who has actually preached.
Of course.
He has actually preached in your former church where you pastored for 50 years, Alfred Place Baptist Church.
That's right. Yes, he's a dear brother who has a ministry of encouragement.
Amen. That is for certain. Well, that's solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. Before I return to Jeff Thomas, just have a couple of reminders. First of all, if you really love this show and you want it to remain on the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. In fact, we are right now in jeopardy of having our internet connection lost because of a past due bill on that that we need to pay, and we need your help paying for it. If we do not have that paid by April 10th, we will be disconnected, and we don't have enough to pay for it right now. That's one thing that you could pray about and help us with a donation, but we are always in the need of your help to remain on the air. Even when we have good months of donations and advertising sales, that money doesn't last forever. So please help us out by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, a physical address will appear on your screen where you can mail a check via the United States Postal Service made out to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Also, remember, folks, that I don't want you siphoning money away from your regular giving to your own local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. In other words, don't punish your own church financially by blessing us financially. Don't do that ever. And also, if you are really struggling to survive, don't put your family in financial peril or further peril by giving to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio right at this point, because providing for your church and family are two commands of God in Scripture. They are not options, they are not suggestions, they are commands. And providing for Iron Sharp and Zion Radio is obviously not a command of God. But if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear, and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and do that often and give as generously as possible. Also, if you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. That will help us enormously because we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars as well, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. And lastly, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, please send me an email, no matter where in the world you live, because I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth, including Alfred Place Baptist Church of Aberystwyth, Wales, where our listeners can possibly be directed to a church that is faithful to the Scriptures. Sometimes I've actually helped people in different parts of the world, even in Australia, for instance, where a listener who lived right around the corner from a solid Reformed Baptist church there discovered it through contacting me, asking about a church recommendation, and he has joined that church and become a member with his family. So no matter where on the globe you live, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put I need a church in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to our guest, Jeff Thomas, and he is discussing Why the Cross, and that email address again is chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Jeff, what are some of the other vital elements of the cross of Christ that we need to know about today?
Well, the fourth is reconciliation. It's found only in a few passages, but all of them are very important. It's a common word that means to restore friendship, to make up after a quarrel. If good relationships are to exist, if they do exist, there's no need of reconciliation. I have no need to be reconciled to Chris Hansen, and he has no need to be reconciled to me, because we are good friends and we agree on almost everything. There's no estrangement, there's no enmity, there's no row that we have. Reconciliation means returning people to a state of friendship after tension, after a quarrel, after bitterness, after alienation. You think of Eden now. The harmony, the walking together initially in the cool of the day, God and Adam. And then, of course, the defiance, the disobedience, the rebellion. And for fellowship to be restored, there must be repentance, there must be confession, an expression of grief. But then, what happens in Eden? God comes, man hides, man makes excuses, man blames the wife, and then they blame the serpent, and so there is estrangement. God acts in grace. God announces his judgment, and then he makes skins, and he makes promises. I will crush the serpent's head. He is the one who is wronged, but he is the one who starts to put things right, who sets up the machinery of reconciliation. So what is man's way of reconciliation? Well, of course, you know it. The one who has sinned, he apologizes. The one who did the wrong, he picks up the phone and he calls, or he writes, or he sends a gift and he pays a debt. He does all in his power to deal with the cause of the estrangement. He humbly acknowledges his folly, his wickedness, and he deals with it. He stretches out his hand for acceptance. Please forgive me, he says. And then there's reconciliation. Oh, how different God's way of reconciliation. He's blameless, he's holy, he's generous and loving, he's the one sinned against, utterly innocent. Yet he deals with the root cause of estrangement. God sees it all, he sees man's sin, man's thoughts and words and deeds and omissions. It's a great foul lump in God's eyes. Like a festering boil, like some carbuncle full of stinking pus. And what does God do? He removes it. He takes every molecule of it away. And he lays it all on Christ. He imputes every bit of that which has driven the two apart. He makes him sin for us. He is the utterly blameless one, the lamb without spot, without a blemish. He didn't cause the dispute. He didn't make us alienated. We did it. We defied him. We went off to the distant city. He pays the price of reconciliation. He deals with the estrangement all by himself. Not 50-50, not 90% and 10%, 100%. He removes every sin. He covers our past sins. He covers our present sins. He covers our future sins. Nothing undealt with. God absolutely satisfied because he has removed it by his Son. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He did this because he loved us, so that now God is reconciled to us. Because God sees us In Christ, God sees us with the imputed righteousness of Christ. God sees us as blameless and sinless and holy as Christ himself. Reconciliation has been achieved, and God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation to say, you needn't be for a day longer alienated from a holy God, but through Jesus Christ you may be reconciled to him, and he reconciled to you. That's what the cross has done.
Oh, praise God for that. What a wonderful, wonderful thought. The kind of news and information that even as a Christian who's been saved for decades, you can never stop hearing it and should not ever stop hearing it.
No,
we need those reminders.
Quite so.
And we do have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who has a question. I really, truly believe, just as you do, that Christ paid the complete price for the sins of his people on the cross. But what I cannot understand is that his experience of agony and suffering was not eternal, and yet those who will perish for eternity in hell have a punishment that never ceases. How is this commensurate with the fact that Christ paid the penalty for the sins of his people?
Oh, what a deep question. What a wonderful question to ask. I think we do not see sin as God sees it. We do not see sinners as God sees them. That those who... There's never been one person who has gone to hell longing to go to heaven. There's never been one person who has been crying for mercy and longing to be with the living, holy God forevermore, who has been spurned by God. All those that are in hell hate God. And their alienation towards him has not been changed by death. Death has no sanctifying power in itself. Now, I do believe this, that those things that are so beautiful and delightful in our family members who do not profess faith in Jesus Christ, their patience and kindness and forgiveness and hard work and love and the sweetness, that's in them because of an earlier grace. An earlier grace in parents and grandparents who prayed for them. An earlier grace because of the great work of the Bible in the United States and in other countries in the world, that has left its legacy. And so, there are those reasons, but there is this reason too, that men are, bear the image of God. Now I believe that in hell, all those factors will be removed. You will not recognize your dear friends in hell, your family members, your loved ones, all that is lovely and beautiful about them, all that is of the image of God about them, all those elements will be removed, and there they will stubbornly remain, filled with exasperation and contempt and hatred of Jesus and his love eternally. And so then they suffer the same eternal response of a just and holy God who hates all the things, who knows their hearts, who knows their sins of omission. And so it's not that there would be then the sweet and kind and loving and religious people in hell. And when Christ died, there was an infinite and an immeasurable and eternal offering, comprehensively, inalienably, immutably, making atonement, which will last forever and ever and ever, will last as long as God himself will last, because God, the infinite one, did this. And so you're not comparing like with like. You're comparing then the matchless, unsearchable atonement of Jesus Christ with men and women who have said no to it. No to it in life. No to it in death. No to it at the throne of judgment. No to it today still.
And as far as the fact that Christ did not suffer eternally, it was a specific period of time that he suffered on the cross. And at the same time, his death was sufficient to pay for an eternity on behalf of his elect. Those kinds of things, those mathematic calculations, we may never know, either this side of glory or even in heaven. Some of these things are in the mind of God, perhaps, and will always remain there.
That's helpful, Chris. Yes, thank you.
And thank you so much, Susan Margaret. Continue to listen to the program and spread the word about it in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, and beyond. Well, if you could give us a final or one or two more of the vital aspects of why the cross, then we'll take some more listener questions. I don't want to interrupt the flow right now of what you're teaching about this.
Okay. It's why the cross? It's penal. It is substitutionary. It is a propitiation. It is reconciliation. Those are the four I've sought to cast some light on. And finally, it's a declaration. And in modern theology, that is really the only emphasis on the atonement that they will grudgingly agree to. The effect of the atonement and suffering of Christ on man, in the way it makes us think, the way it teaches us values, the effect it has on our beliefs and conceptions and prejudices. Now, I don't think for one moment that that is the heart of the problem, but I believe it is a valid aspect of the word of the cross that we ought not to overlook. We're looking again at one of the fundamental principles. The cross of Christ is not only preached to us. It is what we profess. It is what every single Christian, the baby Christian. Why are you, what you believe? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. So, that's what he says. This is the theme. This is the declaration. When we have the Lord's Supper, however often you have it in your church, what do we say? We are showing forth the Lord's death. The Lord's death. Until he comes. So what is the declaration then that is uttered by Calvary? What is it proclaiming? Well, a couple of things. It's declaring holiness of God. You go to that ugliness, to the darkness, the trial, all the associations of the place of execution, the brutality, the attitude of the Roman soldiers, the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and Sadducees, the mockery of the high priest, the treachery of the disciples. Is that lovely? I want you to see the ugliness of it all. Calvary is a shambles. There is darkness. There is a rent curtain from top to bottom. His friends have forsaken him. He is mocked. Soldiers play cards at the foot of the cross. And all that is saying, this is sin, and Calvary is so ugly because sin is so ugly. There is the deformity, the absurdity. There is its anomaly. And you ask yourself again, what does God think of sin? You just ponder. There is a moment when God's Son is made sin. God's only Son. And how does God deal with it? Does he think it of no consequence? Does he turn a blind eye? And here you see the marvel of it. He places in his hands a cup. And the Son takes it. And there is condemnation. There is damnation in that cup. And God condemns him. God turns his face from him. God deserts him. He's broken. He's bruised. He's anathematized. And it is all saying, God does not condone sin. Even in the process of atonement, that great element must be registered. God's absolute integrity is maintained. And you yourselves, when you're tempted to play with sin and trifle, you ought to remember this. You have not yet considered the great work of salvation. So that is the first declaration that Golgotha makes to us. The holiness of God. And then, of course, on Calvary, God declares the love of God. Nothing else in the whole world declares God's love like Calvary. And the beauty of creation and the forbearance of God, nothing like Calvary to show it. Behold, what manner of love the Father has shown towards us. God loved us. He loved the chief of sinners so much. He didn't spare his own Son because he was intent on sparing us. Remember, it is not a love that condones sin. It is not a love in the sense that it demands no sacrifice. God is love, yet men may perish. God has died, yet men may themselves pay the penalty for their sin. And here is this marvelous paradox, almost too great to understand. You see the point of it? It is not that God requires atonement, not simply that, but God provides the atonement because he loves us. But you must go beyond that. It is God himself who becomes the atonement. God provides a lamb, and God becomes the lamb. God gives himself for us because he loves such inconsistent people as we are. So it's more than mortal man can grip. The firstborn seraph tries to plumb the depths of love divine. Is there any intellect that can fathom this? God requires this sacrifice. God provides this sacrifice. God becomes this sacrifice. And God declares this sacrifice as he goes to Philippi and Thessalonica and Colossae and Ephesus. preaching this great gospel. And those are the two things then that are declared by Calvary, the holiness of God and the love of God.
Praise God. Well, we have to go to our final break. It's going to be a lot shorter than the other ones. If you have any intention to send in a question to Jeff Thomas, do it immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back with Jeff Thomas.
I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian world worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness. My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson and Jeff Thomas. Before we take any final listener questions about this very profound and important subject, why don't you summarize, I'd rather not have to interrupt you later, why don't you summarize uninterrupted what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners regarding this vital topic?
Three things, Chris. Firstly, believe it. Bring your intellect to this doctrine and believe it. Christ's humanity, Christ's humiliation, Christ's accomplishment of redemption, blood atonement. Commit yourself to these truths. Place your hand upon the head of the Lamb of God. And take this to the throne. Father, forgive me, because I've heard there's this blood that can make the foulest clean. And this is my only plea. I flee from all my sins, my virtues, and I hide in the wounded side of Christ. And all my feelings flow from that place. My peace, my joy, none of that is independent of my theology. And all my sadness and shame, none of that is independent of my theology either. From my riven heart with tears, two wonders I confess. The wonder of his glorious love and my own worthlessness. So believe it. Secondly, hold fast your confession. That is, tell it. We have no message but this message. If people aren't interested, we've got nothing else to tell them. We're not particularly interesting people. We're not beautiful people, wealthy, influential people at all. We don't have skills that we can declare to them. All we have to offer the world is the cross of Christ. And if they reject that, there's nothing at all we can offer in their place. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. I was determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's the heart of our message. We stand before a dying world, and we point it to the cross of Christ, and we say, behold your God. We say, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. So believe it, hold fast your confession, and then finally, come, go with boldness to the throne of grace. Go through Christ. Go through the perfection of his finished work. Go boldly. Call God, Abba Father. Ask for mercy until you know that you have been heard by him and mercy received. Go with the same old sins and keep going. Look back across the sins of a lifetime, and all you can plead is mercy in Jesus' name. And when you stand before God, you know what you will say to him. You will say, I wish it wasn't me, but I don't despair. I will keep coming and keep looking forward to the fulfillment of his promise, of his glorious achievement, that when I see him, I will be like him. I will see him as he is. I never think that the blood of Christ has been exhausted by 2021 or because of the state of America or Britain today. If God the Father is satisfied with the blood of Christ, your conscience can be satisfied with it too. So those are the three things then. In closing, believe it, hold fast to your confession, and come with boldness to the throne of grace.
Amen. And we have time for a couple of listener questions. We have an anonymous listener who said, I have a friend who is a liberal who constantly mocks my understanding and the traditional Christian understanding of the necessity of the death of Christ as cosmic child abuse. I find this so blasphemous that this person would utter this on a routine basis when the subject comes up that sometimes I remain speechless. How should I respond to such blasphemy?
Well, you've responded to it very well by acknowledging its blasphemous nature. That is modernism. That is taught in Baptist seminaries around the world and, of course, in modernist seminaries of other denominations too, that they hate the doctrine of substitutionary atonement. They despise it. And this phrase has come up, cosmic child abuse. Oh, my friends, never did God more love his son than when his son took our sin and bravely bore it. And because he showed his love for us in condemning his son, that a countless number of the whole world, the new creation, should be washed and cleansed of every molecule of sin. That's what the love of God has done.
Amen. And we must never forget that I mean, this kind of accusation falls apart on so many levels. But when Jesus died on the cross, he was, in fact, an adult. and he voluntarily laid down his life. This was not something that was done to him against his will. It was not against the will that he... against his will that evil men executed him, and it was not against his will that his father pour his wrath upon him. He was a substitute voluntarily, fully and completely.
Quite so. That's a very good point. You answer much better than I do, Chris.
That is far from the truth, I think. let's see here. We have another listener. We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, who says, "Is not the cross where we must always turn to recognize how vile our sin is, no matter how insignificant or little we may view it? There are things called white lies and other sins that Christians normally tolerate in their lives. They don't think that they are all that big of a deal. But if Christ died for even those sins, is that not a way that they are magnified to the reality of how serious they are?"
Yeah. You're so correct in what you said. How can I do this? How can I do this when my Savior shed his blood and went through the agony of Golgotha? Because he loved me, he willingly did this. You know, the fear in the Garden of Gethsemane, the awesome, the sweat as blood, the throwing himself to the ground, the longing for another cup, that shows how he viewed the next day dying under the wrath of God. And it shows just how foolish, how immensely foolish is the way that men and women look at death and have little jokes about death and carry on in behavior, which if they do so is going to result in the loss of God. And Jesus, agonizing, praying three times that the cup might pass. Oh, my friends, don't go on in that relationship which you know will end in the loss of God.
Amen.
Don't do that.
Amen. Well, if anybody wants to contact Jeff Thomas, they can contact me, and I will pass on your emails to him. My email address, again, is chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you want to find out more about his writings, you can go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, and you can also go to heritagebooks.org, heritagebooks.org. And please, when you actually make the purchase, after finding out what you'd like to buy after seeing what he has written, go to cvbbs.com to actually make the purchase. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, who sponsor this show, cvbbs.com. Thank you so much, Reverend Jeff Thomas. We look forward to your return on Thursday, April 22nd, for our next interview.
It's my privilege.
And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.